will believe and confess that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. All right, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All right, I want to, if you would, to go to Psalm 138. And that's where we're going to begin today. And then we're going to go to Matthew and then to the book of Hebrews. And then we'll get into our lesson for today. Psalm 138, and we'll read verse 1 and 2, and that's all we really need to read there. Psalm 138, verse 1 and 2, 138, 1 through 2. All right, it says this, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name. For thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. All right, now if you will, go with me to the book of Matthew, and let's look in Matthew chapter 7, and we'll look at Matthew chapter 7, and we'll read verse 13 through 29. You see Jesus speaking here, Matthew chapter 7, we'll begin at verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. All right, last place we want to go is the book of Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. And let's look at verse 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 1 through 4. So when you have it, just say amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray today that your word, which you have declared yourself, that you have magnified above your name, will instruct us on what we need to do in order that we might hear you say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servants, and that we might be able to enter into the kingdom of God and not, Father, find ourselves in the broad way that leads to destruction, but in the narrow path that leads to life. Father, we ask it even now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. I want to talk to you today I'm entitling my message simply, Spiritual Neglect. Spiritual Neglect. All right, now, as a lawyer, we talk a lot about negligence and neglect a lot. You'll hear those terms used most of the time. Anytime somebody has an accident, we refer to it that more than likely it was their negligence that led to that accident. In other words, they were texting or whatever they were doing. They weren't paying attention. And so the person to whom they owed a duty to not hit or damage their property, they ended up doing that because of their failure. It was their fault. So the Bible tells us in when we're looking here in Hebrews about neglect. My thesis for this, which I hope where we'll be when we get to the end of this, is that the Bible declares that we will not escape the judgment of God if we neglect this great salvation spoken to us by the Lord. Now, there are many places, and I've said this before, that we can go to learn about how to get money and how to prosper in life and all of that. I could send you all over the world for that. But I was in a place last night, and as I sat and listened to people talking and everything they were saying, and as I looked out on that crowd, all I could think of is my job is to make sure that anybody who is willing to listen knows that there is a reckoning coming when we die, and that will be what really will ultimately matter, and that men's souls and women's souls are up for grabs, that the devil wants any and everybody he can get so that he can destroy our soul. He will give us the world if he can get our soul. Jesus said, what doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? So I don't really have time to be negligent in what I have to do. I have to make sure that what I'm declaring to you is the word that Jesus declared, because the Bible says, when we look in Hebrews, we'll read it plainly, it says right there in verse 3, how shall we escape? That is a rhetorical question. In other words, what the Bible is telling us is that we will not escape. We will not escape. All right, I hope you're hearing this. We will not escape. If we neglect this salvation that God has given to us, which began to be spoken to us by Jesus and then was confirmed by everyone who heard him, and God made sure we knew it was what he said because he gave them the Holy Ghost and gave them all these gifts and miracles they were able to work to confirm the word that they heard from Jesus. Now, he says, if we neglect, he says, when angels spoke and people didn't do what the angels said, there was quick judgment on these people. You see it with Zechariah when the angel appeared, Gabriel, to come tell him about John. And he says that, you know, your wife is going to bear a child, and he's going to be the prophet of the Most High. He's going to go before him. And Zechariah said, how's this going to be? I'm old, she old. And the angel said, you're not going to say a word until that baby's been born. And the Bible says right then his mouth was shut. He couldn't talk. And so the people outside of the temple were wondering what was going on with him in there. It was taking so long. He finally came out, and he couldn't talk. He just motioned them away. And they realized, well, something must have went on. So his wife conceived the baby when he was born. They were getting ready to name him after his dad. There were people there at the house, you know, let's name the baby after his dad, Zechariah. And his wife said, oh, no, this baby's name is John. And they said, you don't have anybody in your family named John. So they handed his dad the pad, and he wrote, his name is John. And the Bible says as soon as he wrote that, his mouth opened up and he started talking. And the angel told him, Gabriel said, because you have not believed the word I brought you, you won't say nothing until that baby's born. Now, if an angel, in speaking the word of God to us, he says, if we don't escape what angels said, every transgression, disobedience got a reward. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect what Jesus has told us? You see, the Bible, what really got me going this week was, you know, I heard a pastor, and, you know, he got 30,000 people at his church. And I said, you know, this just go to show you, you know, people will follow anything. This is what he said. Here is what might be an uncomfortable question for some of us. I said, not for me. And an interesting and maybe even helpful one, not for me. And surprisingly honest for others of us. Wasn't surprising to me that it would be surprising to them, that he said, when it comes to knowing if there is a God, what God is like. And when it comes to trying to figure out who God likes, does it really come down to the Bible tells us so? Or any other religious literature tells us so? His next tweet: the Christian faith doesn't rise and fall on the accuracy of 66 ancient documents. It rises and falls on the identity of a single individual, Jesus of Nazareth. Well, we're so happy that you believe that Jesus of Nazareth is what it all rises and falls on. But please tell me, who told you that? Where did you get that information that it rises and falls on Jesus? And how exactly do you know he's from Nazareth? It's so stupid. I don't get it. I don't understand, but I do, because the devil did it in the garden. His first thing was to suggest to Eve, you don't want to be a sinner. You want to be like God. He wasn't saying anything negative. He wasn't trying to get her to do anything nasty. He was trying to get her to be like God, which is what everybody wants to get us to be like today. God's not like that. God likes this, and God doesn't like that, and God's not mean and hateful like you Christians, and God wouldn't have just one way to heaven, and God wouldn't this, and God wouldn't that, when that's not what God said. The Bible is the word of God. God said he elevated his word above his name. So you can run around all you want talking about, we're going to tell you who Jesus is. You can't tell me who Jesus is apart from this word. That's why what's interesting what Sister Miranda said today. The word is the lamp, the Bible says, to our feet. It is what directs our path and separates our soul from our spirit. And decisions that we make. Why is this pastor preaching like this? Because of them 30,000 people up in there, there are a whole lot of them who just ain't agreeing with what the Bible has to say. And if you want to keep them all happy, you got to tell them what they want to hear. God, we can't say that this is saying what God is like. You can't say these 66 ancient books, they're ancient books now. They're no longer the word of God in your church. They're ancient books. I wouldn't go in your church. I wouldn't step in that place. To me, that's like stepping straight into hell's inferno. You have basically taken the word of God and relegated it to 66 ancient books, where God declares, this is my word, and I'm saying it. Jesus is the one who said it. Let's go back and look at what he said. Lord, help me, Jesus. Oh, my God, I'm like, I have to make sure the folk in our church are listening to what Jesus said. It is not what I said. Watch everything I'm saying, except that, you know, the church like inferno, it might well be. I said that. Jesus didn't say that. But let's see what Jesus said, and I want you to think about what this looks like. Oh, my goodness. Let's look. Jesus said this in verse 24. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Now, I don't know where we're going to hear them if we're not going to read it. You know, Jesus is not here. So we have to go on the word that was given back to us and confirmed by these men who heard it with signs and wonders that we know this is what Jesus said. Peter said, I was there when he did say these things. I know Jesus said this. Jesus said this. Jesus said, I'm telling you, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken them to a wise person who built their house on a rock. And when all the hell breaks loose, when it's over, their house is not going to fall. Verse 26, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them, I'm going to liken unto a foolish person who built their house on the sand, and then when all hell broke loose, the house crumbled. Now, what is he talking about before this? See, you can't just disjoint Jesus and take a scripture out and just go preach a scripture. We're having a conversation here. It's no different than if you're having a conversation with somebody you know. You don't, like, take out part of what they're saying. It's a conversation. We start off, you know, my wife and I go to dinner. We're having a conversation. She doesn't take a sentence I use unless it's just so out of context. Then she knows something might be wrong. Maybe he's delusional, something happening to him. That's how you know. You know, you're talking to somebody and all of a sudden they say something like, you know, y'all just having a conversation about, let's say, lunch. And all of a sudden they say, you know, I think the moon is green. you look at them a little strange, and then you try to tie that back to what y'all talking about. But if you're not discussing the moon and you're not talking about anything with the stars, you might let it slip. You good. And then you talk a little longer, and then they say, because, you know, I really think that there are aliens everywhere. Now maybe we could take that one little thing out and analyze it and say there's something that's misfiring during your conversation. But that's not what's going on here. Let's see what's happening. Let's back up where we started. In verse 13, Jesus is having a conversation with these people, and he says, enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there are that are going in. Okay, so Jesus done made it plain. There ain't no broad way into heaven. He done said it. This is why I tell people, you can get rid of Jesus. That's why what this man talking about, it rises and falls on Jesus of Nazareth. What Jesus? What Jesus? What Jesus does it rise and fall on? It's got to rise and fall on some Jesus. You going to make up Jesus now? Yes, that's exactly what he's doing. Listen to some of his sermons, and he's going to explain to you why God wouldn't be like we are. Christians, hateful. Y'all just hateful. Y'all get down on everybody else's religion and you're narrow-minded and you're all of that. I thought this was a Christian church. Well, it is. No, it's not. You're saying that, but it's not. It's not a Christian church. A Christian church is a church that worships Christ of the Bible, and Christ of the Bible said it's a narrow way. Now, I know people don't like that, and I'm sorry. I wish I could preach something different. I wish I could preach stuff that would make everybody like me. I do. I would be wonderful for everybody just like you. But they don't. Okay? And you got to understand, they don't like God. God already said it. People don't like me. People like the God they make up. The God in their mind. The God that looks like them, talks like them, acts like them, do what they do, say what's nice and what ain't. That's the God they like. God don't get to define himself. God doesn't get to say, look, I'm God, you're not. This is what I like. This is what I don't. We don't do that. We want an all-inclusive God, one who just lets everybody do what they want, when they want, how they want, and that makes people happy. Well, I get it, but what about hell? What about what Jesus said? Jesus said destruction. It leads to destruction. I do not plan on being destroyed. If I'm going by myself, I plan on going by myself and say, Jesus, I tried everything I could. I said everything I could to whoever I could when I could. But I said what you said. You the one who said. Narrow is the way. If I get there and Jesus said, I cannot believe you was preaching that. That you're going to tell people broad is the way to destruction. You know how many people didn't come because of you? I'd be like, well, Jesus, that's what you said. I could see if I made it up. You the one talking. You said narrow, straight gate. Narrow is the, broad is the way that leads to destruction. You said few people are going to find it. Matter of fact, you went on to say this in verse 15. I was trying not to be that guy. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth good fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire, wherefore you shall know them by their fruits. Okay, Jesus, to say that God's, your Father's word is 66 ancient documents, really? You're talking about where men of God gave their lives, died for this? Do you know that most people don't realize, they just, because, you know, history always goes by and we don't really think much about it to the extent that we even know about it. Most people don't even know who William Tyndale is. William Tyndale had a problem with the Catholic Church at one point, and he denounced the practice of praying to saints, and he rejected the then orthodox view that scriptures could only be interpreted by approved clergy. In other words, the Catholic Church had set it up such that the only people who could tell you what the Bible said was the priests, and the only people who could be priests was the people they said could be priests. And his thing was, this don't make sense to me. If God's word is God's word, why can't the regular people have it? Why can't we all read it? Why does it take one person that you all pick to tell us that's the way it's got to be? Well, what was the result of Mr. Tyndale saying that back then? Well, he was condemned for heresy. He was eventually executed by strangulation, and then he was burned at the stake. And they try to make it clear back then, you don't want to go there. We got a corner on this market. No, we read it in Latin to the people. We tell them what it means. Genuflect and get out of here. Are we going to give you your communion? Are we going to do whatever and you get out of here? We're the ones who run this. The normal people don't need this Bible. What did the king do after they burned him at the stake, Tyndale? Not only did they choke the man to death. Can't you just burn him up? Can't you just strangle him? No, they were trying to send a message to everybody, anybody. This is what we think about you. Not only are we going to take you through a death that you're going to have to, like, go through, then we're going to burn your body because that's just how disgusting and heretical you are. Jesus said there's going to come a time when people kill you, they're going to think they're doing God a service. So what's the king do after that? He burned all copies of the man's Bible. Everywhere he could find one, he took it and burned it. The devil. Ain't nothing but the devil. What was illegal? Why was it illegal to translate the Bible? Well, in 1498, the Catholic Inquisition stated that it was impossible to translate the Bible into a modern language without making mistakes that would plunge you unskillful, and especially you non-converts, into doubt about your faith. So if I translate the book and I don't do it right, God forbid, you all are gonna get lost, be lost. Well, surely if I can't read it at all, I'm gonna be lost. Well, of course, not unless you're telling me what it say. Now, y'all, think about being in a church right now today, this church, and I tell y'all, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten daughter, that whosoever believe in her should not perish but have everlasting life. You ain't got no book to look at. Matter of fact, it's illegal for you to have a book. And that's the version of the Bible I'm preaching to you. How do you know? Well, did God have a son or a daughter that came? What was it? Well, the pastor said God gave his only daughter. Well, you don't have nothing to look at. That's the equivalent of me giving you a Latin Bible and telling you, well, I'm going to tell you what's here now. And then we're going to do whatever. You don't get to read it. I can't interpret it for you. And then some guy comes along who says, it just don't seem right to me that regular people can't read the book. Now, let me tell you the problem with cults, and I ain't saying that people are cults. I'm saying, let me tell you about cults in general. Cults don't like you to get general information because then you might think for yourself. Yeah, you don't want the normal people thinking for themselves because if they think for themselves, they might come up with a novel idea that you might not be right. Maybe I have a little more to do with this than you saying I have to do with this. Maybe I should live my life a little bit different. When your cults, they always want to isolate you away from your family. Watch people like that.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't talk to your mama. You know, your mama crazy.
Look, if your mama's crazy, you already know it. You do. You already know it. You know, ain't nobody got to tell you to avoid your mom. You already know it. But if somebody's doing that, you got to watch them because they're trying to cut you off for a reason. When people start trying to tell you, they the one to help you. I'm the one, you need me to do this for you. Whenever you get this kind of stuff, you got to realize that the devil is always trying to isolate, change, and get you on his team in some kind of way. You are trapped by what's happening. God is about freedom. God is about man's ability to think. When he put Adam and Eve in the garden, he said, don't y'all do this. And then God went right back there and looked. You don't think God knew what it was going to do? You don't think that God was watching them when they did it? When he came down, he said, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, I hid myself. Why you hiding? God already know why he hid. I'm naked, and I didn't want you to see me. I'm ashamed. Now, God created him. Now, he ain't got enough sense to know God done seen him naked. I'm naked. He said, who told you you were naked? First thing he did was try to find somebody to blame it on. That woman you gave me. Oh, the woman I gave you. Then he called the woman. He just said, let me just talk to her first. Asked her, what happened? The snake did it. He tricked me. And he called a snake. Said, look, this is going to be your punishment. Then he worked his way back up the chain. Bottom line is, God was not having any excuse. You don't get married to somebody God made you marry. That's a lie. You found that person. You the one wanting them. You the one decided. And you the one married. And whatever going on now, that's your problem. You did that. You should just pray, God, help me, that it can work. People, when they want to get out, I said this before, the first thing they say is, the Bible says, what God hath joined together. And you know me, I was kind of less than at the time, and I don't think I was with God. That is not, I've said that before, what he means. We are God's authority. When you came up here and I asked you them questions, and I looked around, and I always take my time, is there anybody here who has any reason to say these two should not be joined together? Speak now, or forever hold your peace. And I wait. Some preachers just be going because they like, surely ain't nobody going to embarrass these people, right? Well, but you never know who might jump up and say, oh, I can tell you why. I'm his wife or something. You never know what's going to happen, right? So the point is that you want to wait. You give them a minute to talk. And then I will say something like this. Now that none of y'all done said nothing, y'all don't need to say nothing. Nah, after this, pray for these people. Pray that their marriage will work. Pray that their situation will go well. Pray for them. Make sure you're saying positive things out of your mouth from now on. Do not walk out that door talking about, I don't know why he married her. That's going to be something there. Don't do it. Speak positive, right? Because we need to understand God has joined them together. So Jesus is going through. So why is it illegal? You need to know what happened. So what was Tyndale's last words before they strangled him? Oh, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. And then they strangled a man. He ain't say, I can't believe I'm up here because I tried to interpret the Bible. I can't believe this ain't right. None of that. No, all he said was, Lord, open the king's eyes. What happened? 3 years later, the king allowed the Bible in every church in England. And then the King James Bible was published maybe about 50 years later. So the same Bible we're holding in our hand, but for the Apocrypha, is the same identical Bible that Tyndale died on the cross for, strangled and burned at a stake for, other than some modern translating of it, the words. It's not Old English anymore, but I've taken the 1611 Bible, and I've gone through it chapter by chapter. It's the same Bible. You may not be able to understand the way the words are all scripted. You just have to look closer, or the way it's said, but it's the same thing going on. So you're going to tell me that a man was burned to death, strangled for 66 ancient books? You're stupid. And that's why I said that. You don't deserve to be in a church as a pastor of the Christian people. A man died to put this in our hands. A whole church strangled and burned a man at the stake so we could have this book. And today, you saying, does it come down to this book? Yes, for those of us who are contending for the faith, it does. And contending for people's souls, contending for men's souls, that they might know what God said. Because Jesus already told us, many of us, Lord, let's go on with this conversation. Oh, my God, help us, Jesus. Look at what he says. Verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Wow. That in and of itself is frightening. You're not saying you don't believe he's the Lord. You're not saying I don't care about Jesus. You're not the one in the street running around saying that it doesn't matter. Christ ain't real and Jesus ain't real. No, that's not what you're saying. You're saying, Lord, Lord. So what happened? Jesus tells us, they go on to give their testimony. Didn't I prophesy or preach in your name? And in your name, didn't I cast out devils? I had power. And in your name, look at all the great works that we did so wonderful. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Wow. Wow. People professing him to be Lord, saying they preached in his name, saying that they did these things, saying they had power, saying they did all these great works, and he say, you're a worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And here, if nothing else, they're going to say after they ran, he tried to let us know. And they say, Lord, he crazy. Because I'm crazy, make sure I'm not going to have God put me somewhere by saying, you prophesied in my name lies. You spoke stuff that wasn't true. You made it up because you decided this book didn't matter. What mattered was what was in your mind and pleasing people and saying stuff that sounded good on Sunday. And, oh, wasn't that a great sermon? You know, the reality is, don't you understand? That's like a fireman running into a burning building saying, do you want to come out? Just wondering. And then you let the people decide. While the building on fire, whether they want to come out or not. The firemen run in and grab you if they have to, and they will drag you out of that building. They're not going to just leave you in there if they know there's a child in the bedroom. They will crawl up the window. They will do whatever they got to do to break in that house and snatch that child out of the fire. And that's what the Bible says to us. Snatch people's souls out of the flame. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Rescuing people. And as I sat there last night, you know, I'm sitting in this place listening, and I'm thinking, that's great, everything everybody doing. I said, my job is to snatch souls out of hell. That, you know, I didn't have no other thought in my mind. I said, I was not asked to get up there and preach the gospel, so I'm not. But I tell you what, if they had said, you got anything to say, say whatever you want, I'd have said, hell is real, and y'all better get it together. Don't get me wrong, I ain't saying you're going, but please make sure you don't. I want to be there with you, just like we excited tonight and talking and having a great time. I want to be in heaven the same way with all of y'all. Now, they might say, well, you know, see, that's what's wrong with y'all, because all y'all so narrow-minded. You know, I believe in this one, I believe in that. And I say, well, I understand that. But Jesus, I work for Jesus. And all I can do is say what he said. Jesus was the one who said it's straight and narrow and small and broad is the way of destruction. He said he wants you to get in there, but he's trying to tell you the path is narrow. Think about it. If you wanted to come across a bridge and I was supposed to help you, and there's only one spot you can go and not fall in the river, but I don't tell you about it because I don't want to hurt your feeling. Well, you know, the bridge is narrow. Well, I'm going to let you choose how you want to come across. But I'm on the other side now. Come on, I say. Follow me. And you're like, okay, you know, the bridge looks sturdy. And then you step on the wrong thing and fall to your death. When I knew the path, most people say, well, I would expect you to tell me. Now, we can apply this to all these kind of situations, but it's difficult for people to apply it when you start talking about God and life, because it becomes offensive to people because they want to be able to make their own decisions. But if you think about this, wouldn't it make sense that if there's a God, he would tell you how to get to him? Wouldn't you think that if there was a God and we were on a planet like we are right now, where people murder children, rape children, do all kind of things to people, that there would be a need for that to be punished? That there would be a need? See, when I say them really bad people get it. Oh, yeah. But God said all sin is bad. And unless you're perfect, you can't come in heaven, because heaven is full of perfectness. And I can't touch anything. Think about this. I think I've used this example before. Let's say, for instance, I give you a bottle of water. And you say, thank you, Pastor. Most people look to make sure the bottle is still. Now, if it was the cap was turned and you did this and then you looked at me, I said, well, what's the problem? And you said, well, Pastor, it's already open. I said, so what's wrong with that? What you trying to say? I put something in it or something? Now, you're not going to want to say, well, exactly that's the problem. It should be no cap broken. I trust, you know, but I want the bottle like it is. Because what if it turns out that I had spit in the water and shook it up? I ain't put a lot of spit in there. It's just a little bit of spit. And I shook it up and it looked nice and clean. You don't want to drink that. It's contaminated. Well, that's how God feels about heaven. I ain't trying to take a little of your spit. I don't need a little bit of your sin. I don't want nothing. Anything that's sin, I don't want it here. This is a perfect house. Now, if y'all ever been in a house with somebody who got a perfect house, you know you can't touch nothing, sit on nothing. I remember I leased a car once. And the people, I was so like, I don't even know the word to use. But whatever word I would use is, I was so concerned about returning the thing right. I had the seats covered. I had the mats covered on the floor. Somebody got in the car and was like, what is this? It looked like a plastic bowl. I mean, you know, because everything's all wrapped up. You can't touch nothing, can't use nothing. Don't smoke, don't touch, don't this. Wait, take them shoes off. I thought this was a car. Right, but it's a perfectly clean car that must be returned perfect. Well, this is how God see heaven. God's like, there's no sin up here at all, nothing. So I can't have anything, disobedience, nothing. Nothing can get up here, right? So God is like, it makes sense that I'm trying to tell you how to get here and that you would accept what I'm telling you. So Jesus then tells us, this is how we get there. People say, yeah, pastor, but my pastor, you know, he said that he saw an angel. He was praying in his bedroom and an angel showed up to him. I say, well, I don't care. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. See, God answers every question if we just know the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. Put it up there for us. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it ain't no great thing for his ministers also to be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Paul said, what's wrong with y'all? Why you think the devil ain't got people back here?
This is church. Look, they got a cross. They got crosses all on their lights. This gotta be a church. They got a cross on the table. They don't preach the Bible. We don't do the Bible, but we got crosses everywhere, and we talk about Jesus.
No marvel, he says, please. The angel told me, don't worry about that book. Get to the people. Tell them about the real Jesus of Nazareth. Let me tell you what he wants for your life. He wants to prosper you. He wants you to have everything. God wants you to take over the world. Yes, in his name. Right. Okay. Can we get back to the book?
No, the people don't want to hear the book. The book messes with their heads because it calls them sinners, and you know that ain't nice. You never want to call somebody a name and expect them to respond positively. So therapy and psychologists say we should at least embrace people. Don't call it sin. Call it they got problems. We all got problems. So God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that they that got problems might not perish but come into the kingdom of God. We all got issues, you know, problems we call them, not sin. I mean, you know, well, God, sin, don't call me no sinner. Sinner, don't make me call you nothing. Call me no sinner. I'm not a sinner. The angel told me never say that again. Wow, my pastor saw an angel. What your pastor saw? Nothing, nothing. And I'm telling y'all now, if I saw one, I sent him back. People say, well, how can you do that? Remember what happened to Zechariah? Because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, I didn't plan on using this scripture, but I'm gonna go there right quick. Let me get over here right quick. Let me show you now so y'all know I'm not making this up. We use the book. Use the book. Use the book. See, the lawyers, when you want to beat somebody in court, use the book. Use the law. They can say anything they want to say. Go back to the book. That ain't the law, y'all. That ain't the law. I understand. Unless you're just about to have some home cooking here where the judge just gonna override the law. Just stick to the book, stick to the book, stick to the book. Keep coming back to the law, come back to the law. It don't allow for that. Look at what it says. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 1. Let's look at verse 1 and 2. Let's look at verse 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to read it to you. Look, it's up on the screen for you. God, we're talking about God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake and passed unto us by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. That's it. Jesus done spoke. Jesus went back to heaven, and there ain't no more speaking going on. Ain't no more angels coming down here. I don't care you say you died and you saw some light and you went up into the light. The light told me come, and the closer I got to the light, the more I saw it. All of a sudden, God told me. All of that stuff you hearing ain't real. Go back and tell the people about the light. You better get back in the word. I don't care what light you saw. I wouldn't care what it looked like. Forget the lights. Get back to the word. Put some light on that Bible and read it. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 12. Let's look at what this says. Galatians chapter 1.
let's look at this now. Go to Galatians. Let's look at this now. Galatians chapter 6. We using the Bible, see. So when the devil come at us, we're like, man, ain't nobody trying to talk to you. We use the Bible over here. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 12. Look at what it says. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not really another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preach, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you've received, let him be accursed. God has pronounced a curse. Everybody remember I'm talking about the witches. I don't want that witch to get no curse on me. God done pronounced a curse on every one of us who pronounce a gospel different than the one Paul and the apostles declared. If you don't line up with that gospel, you got a curse from heaven on you. Man, look, a curse from hell is bad enough. The last thing you want is a curse from God. It says, let him be accursed. Do you understand the danger that people are putting themselves in when they change or pervert the gospel of Christ? Paul said, I say it twice. I want to make sure y'all got it. He says, I said it once. Let me say it again. If you do it, you're cursed. See, I can't go to heaven and tell Jesus, well, Jesus, the reason I preach these things was because I, no, sir. What you didn't read, any gospel other than this one, you're accursed. There's a curse on you. Don't you understand? You got cursed. The word cursed you. Oh, my God, this is scary to me. The Bible says, Jesus said, look, you will know them by their fruits. See, he said, you'll know them by their fruits. So, you know, you go and this fella, I ain't going to call his name because it don't matter. Because if you find him, you should be able to look at the fruit and know. So if he's standing there with a overhead talking about why the Christian church has been wrong for the way they've handled certain things like same-sex marriage and this and that and other and all the stuff he's saying, you should be able to look at him and say, that's not God's fruit. See, you should just be able to say that. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. I mean, I ain't gotta wonder about what you say. I hear you, but why are you presenting that to me? How are you saying that the church done mishandled this? When if we look in the Bible, go to Galatians chapter 5, and we look at verse 16 through 24. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 24 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. What they doing? He said, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envy, and murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So the Bible tells us these things, we can't inherit the kingdom. So if I'm preaching them in a way that embraces these things, God is saying that's not the fruit of God. You got to understand that. You got to be able to look at it and know that for yourself. I'm not saying go out in the world, you got to go tell everybody it's your mission. You better know for yourself, though, what's true and what's not true. Because if you don't know for yourself and you say, well, this book is just 66 ancient books. Well, good. Throw it away and know God. I don't know how you do it, but you got to make a decision. All I can say is Paul. Well, he ain't saying Paul because he in heaven. You know, but Mr. Tyndale, I'm sorry you got strangled and burned for 66 ancient books that really don't tell us about God. I don't know why you thought necessary to go and aggravate all them people in the church and get yourself becoming an outlaw to the point that they hunt you down, tie you to a stake, strangle you, and burn you in front of everybody. Over 66 books that can't even tell us about God. Really? That's real. That's history. That's history, y'all. That's Tyndale is history. That's history. And what's so interesting is how God used Henry VIII's sin to bring the book to us. Because Henry VIII was the one who burned up all the books. And then when he turned and told him, as he said, open the king's eyes, it was a couple years later. Y'all know Henry VIII had so many wives. Y'all remember that, right? Well, the Catholic Church had a problem with the king. You can't keep divorcing all these women. See, what he would end up doing many times, he would have them killed. You know, he would say whatever the case might be, and then they'd find him with something, and then he'd cut their heads off. Well, he ain't really won't keep doing that. So why can't I just get a divorce? Because the Catholic Church said he couldn't. So he had a beef with the church. So he set up his own church. That's where the Church of England came from. So he's like, the Church of England. And who had the biggest beef with y'all? Tyndale. That's right, that same guy that I burned all his Bibles. Well, you know what? Since I can't read Latin no way, why don't we take all his Bibles and put them in the churches? So basically, all of the man's Bibles, the same king that burned them all, turned around and put them all out in the world so all them people could start reading. And this is where all the Reformation stuff started happening, because normal people started reading, and the Church of England was kind of like Catholic light. They had some of the same things going on and stuff, rituals and stuff, but the point is they were a little bit not as bad as Catholic. But then what came out of there was all these Protestant types, these protesters, these people who rose up saying all of a sudden, wait a minute, I was reading right here. This says that we priests and kings under God. This says that there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. See, that's what they told you. Don't let them people read that book. So they think one mediator between God and man means that we ain't their mediator. Right. So in other words, I don't have to go in the little booth and confess nothing to nobody. I can go get on my knees and confess to Jesus. When I read this scripture right here that says, come boldly before the throne. You have one priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's the high priest for everybody. What? You mean me too? Regular peasant person who's not even a priest? Yeah. You mean I don't need special oil and water? No. I don't need no smoke? No. You don't need nothing but to go to Jesus. Wow, they say. And before you know it, there was a rebellion on the way because everybody wanted to know Jesus. We don't mind coming to church, but we want to know Jesus. The Bible says I can know him for myself. Back here I read it says, look, I stand at the door and knock. Not the door of the church, the door of your heart. I want to open my heart to Jesus. And people are like, well, now wait now. You don't get to just choose Jesus now. We got to bring you through a process. Process? I read there was a thief on the cross. They said he just looked over and said, Lord, let me be with you in your kingdom. And the Lord said, granted, today you'll be with me. That's the Jesus I want to know. I don't want to know the Jesus that I got to go through all this stuff, 8 years of this and 6 years of that, and then finally somebody going to say, okay, you can now come into the kingdom. But you can only do it this way. Oh, and by the way, you do not get to pray directly to him. That's for me to do. I handle that. I got to do that. I got special prayers. I got a special book up here for that. It's my book. It's not the Bible, but that we read from it, and this is where we get all of our stuff we do. Now, this ain't just one church. There's lots like this. But when all the people start finding out, that's why they call them Protestants. Whether y'all know that or not, it comes from the word protesters. Yeah, y'all was like all them Black Lives Matter people and stuff, and running all over the place. I want to be a Baptist. I want to be this. I want to be a Methodist. I want to be this. I don't want to be nothing. Matter of fact, I think I'll start a church. What? You can't just do that. Well, I think the Lord lead me to do it. Right here, I read and he said, if any man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. When I sense God saying to me, then I said to myself, I want to preach Jesus. I believe that the office of a bishop is a good work. Well, I wasn't about to go and try to line up and go to bishop school and then have somebody finally tell me, okay, now you can be a bishop. God said that he chooses and it's a good work. If a man desires it, well, you know, you're going to know if it's him or not, because he'll shut you down real fast. You ain't got to worry about that. It's his church. It's his kingdom. So let's launch off into the deep, we say. Well, you can't do that, people say. They start jumping up and down. I had preachers tell me, you can't put a box in the back of the church. Why I can't? You don't run this church. We ain't in no denomination, and we ain't got nobody we got to send nothing to. I ain't got to ask you for nothing. I don't ask you for nothing. Look, we put a box back there, people put what they want. You mean free will? You mean they get to make a decision for themselves what to give Jesus? Ah, you got to pass that plate. You're messing with the program. Look, I ain't messing with it. I just read what God said. I'm not demanding nothing from you. But the question is, what do you want to do? That's like my wife will say. I told y'all this before. You know, it's like me going home for her birthday. Here, take this, because I know you want something. I could tell you what her response going to be. Even if she want what I gave her, you keep that. That's what she going to say. You keep that. If that's how you feel, you keep that. Even if it's something she won't, and I give it to her and say, look, I'm giving you this because you've been talking about it forever. I'm sick of hearing about it. Here. Now, I can say it nice. Here. She's looking for, are you sincere about it? So when I come to God, that's why when he looked at the widow, she just gave one mite. God says she's giving more than everybody. God's never looking at dollar amounts. God's looking at heart and what you're doing. You can't tell them that, Pastor. You gotta tell them this. There's a script for that. You feel like sometimes it's just like when you call these places or they call you. Y'all know who I'm talking about. You don't even want to answer the phone. It's a spam calls now. You pick it up. Hello? Yes. This Mr. White? Yes. Mr. White, I was wondering if you'd be interested in saving on your car insurance. No. You mean you don't want to save money? No, I don't. Well, Mr. White, let me just talk to you for a minute. I don't want to talk to you. But Mr. White, just listen. Everyone wants to save money. Why are you forcing me to hang up in your face? Because they know you won't. They know you won't. Human psychology is no one likes to hang up in anybody's face, even when they don't see them. So finally you say, all right, all right. Just send me something. Because you want to get off the phone. They say, well, look, I can't send you anything. Just take the free trial. Pressure, pressure, pressure. God is never pressuring you to do nothing. He's just declaring. Make a decision. God said, look, when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart, though, because the devil will get you. Don't do it. Look, look, look. Some going to say, I had spiritual power. I did signs and wonders. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 12. I told you God ain't leave you without nothing. Go to 2 Thessalonians. Let's look at verse 2 through 12. Man, they had power. I cast the devil out of that man. I'm a devil-casting machine. In Jesus' name, every time I do it, I cast the devil's twain out the door. He run out hollering, screaming. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity, remember Jesus said iniquity, doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It wouldn't matter how many demons I cast out of here. The question is, what is he preaching to you? Is the word of God the foundation of what I'm preaching versus my power? Man, I went to my church. My pastor laid up, raised up his hands. Everybody fell down. Boom, everybody hit the floor. Man, that man got power. So do the devil. That's what I'm saying. The devil got power, lying wonders and miracles and all kind of power. That's why Jesus said they're going to be saying, I cast out devils. He's going to be like, look, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. He said, what? Because this is about doing the will of my Father in heaven, which is what? People keep talking about the Ten Commandments don't matter. But I'm telling you, Jesus went to heaven for a reason. Jesus came here and died for a reason. He died so we would have access to Father. Not so we can live any way we want to live. Now that when we violate a commandment, we have forgiveness. We don't have any conscience anymore of sin. You got to realize like this. Jesus died for every single sin from the time of the Adam Because think about it, Adam and Eve can't get into heaven neither. They sinned against God. But Jesus died. His death, his blood went all the way back to Adam, grabbed them, came all the way forward through David, grabbed him, came all the way forward to his death on the cross, all the way up to you yesterday. That's why we used to sing, how powerful is the blood of Jesus. Because that blood God accepted for the sacrifice of the whole world and all of our sins. And because of that, that's the blood that does it. And now because of that, we don't have to worry about what? Sin and having a consciousness of it. When we fall, we get up and we ask God to forgive us. And we don't have to keep begging him. God says, look, I already died for that. If you're sincere in your request, I forgive you. People are like, well, how can you keep sinning against God like that? Because as long as you are sincere, some people are sincerely bound. They're trying to break free. Long as you're trying to break free, you good. But if you don't try to break free and you give in, that's when the Bible says that people are what? Giving in and believing a lie. See, they'd rather believe a lie than the truth. Instead of believing that although I might be bound by sin, God don't agree with sin, God ain't for sin, and God ain't never going to acknowledge sin. I might be bound by it, but I'm going to die asking God to forgive me and telling him I don't know why I couldn't break free. But I tell you what, I'm going to keep trying to believe in the power of Jesus. If I do that, at least I'm coming humble to God. I don't come into church looking for perfectness. I don't come into church saying, oh, I ain't got nothing wrong with me and never will again. But I know I come understanding that I ought to be seeking that perfection from God. But the power piece, man, we can forget that. Jesus already told you that is not impressive to me. Matter of fact, the devil's going to use it to deceive a bunch of people. If you think about what I told you all last week when we talked about the where people keep talking about the rapture. And that one in the field, the other left, this one's going to be taken, the other one left. And I told you how, when you look at that, it's talking about the days of Noah and Lot. I said, even if this was the rapture, the Bible says the day that Noah went in the ark, the flood came and destroyed them all. The day that Lot went out of Sodom, the flood came. I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah, it rained fire and brimstone. The day he went out. Now, you think about a doctrine that got people sitting around waiting on Jesus, believing that Jesus going to come get us before any really bad stuff happens. Then we're going to leave all the bad people here. Some of them will get saved because, you know, they're going to face that 666 guy. But we're going to be in heaven watching it all, right? And as we watch it all, you know, we'll be in heaven. And then eventually they'll be beheaded and all this stuff will be happening to them. And then finally, Jesus will come back and get them all. And we'll come with him. I'm like, so how does that play out? Well, every movie you watch, you know, we're on the bus driving. You got a Christian school bus driver. And he just disappeared. And what all of the cheering is supposed to do? Oh, somebody grabbed the wheel. The bus driver's gone. Trains riding down the street. Oh, somebody grabbed the wheel. He disappeared. Really? That y'all think that sound right? Okay. It sounds more like what ought to happen is, as times get tougher, see, the time we're living in now, I used to didn't understand it when I was younger. Today, oh, I got it. It is so crazy now. People will believe anything they want to believe, and if you don't affirm it, something wrong with you. And we're going to figure out every way we can to destroy you and your life. And I thank God that I just don't care. I really don't. I understand it now. I remember when we started the church, and I used to be every Sunday wouldn't be nobody but me and my wife and the kids. Every single Sunday. There were Sundays I would just cry. God, why am I here all by myself? I thought you wanted me to do this. I felt so horrible. But over the years, it just built me up to where you'll just say what the Bible says. And it's like, hey, if they stick around, they stick. If they don't, they don't. I remember one Sunday dealing with a lady who basically, she had been tithing all this time, giving a bunch of money to the church, lots of money. But she was causing all kinds of disturbances, you know, not doing what the Bible says and all that. So I said, well, Lord, I need to talk to her. I said, but I know she's going to get mad. And she's going to say, I give all kind of money to the church. So I said, I know what I'm going to do. So I wrote a check. went and added all her stuff up, wrote a check for her stuff, and had a little accounting sheet tied to it. So I had it in my pocket, and I went to talking. She said what she had to say. Then finally she said, all the money I give to this church, and how dare you? She said, what is that? I said, that's your money. What are you talking about? That's God's money. I said, thank you. Give it back. Now go on. What you were saying? Make a decision. Well, you want your money back or you don't. You're not going to control me with your money. I'm not going to let you do that. And what happens is now we're living in an environment where you better be able to say what the real deal is. Because right now, Jesus was the one who said, in the beginning, God made them male and female. I didn't say that. God said it. You a hater. God's a hater then. I run with God. I'm just sorry. I don't even know what to tell you. I'm just doing what the man said. I am not going to die and have Jesus look at me and say, you are a worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You start preaching all that stuff because you want to be included in everybody's stuff. You want to get invited to all the parties. You want to be a part of everything. You then die as well. Oh, no, Jesus. If I got to be all by my lonesome on the side of the road, I'll do it. Tyndale got strangled to death and burned over this book. How dare I stand up here and worry about what the people out there got to say about this? It doesn't make sense, but it does, because the devil knows. Jesus already declared it. Now, I want you to look at something. Go to Revelation chapter 19 and think about what I said. I'm going to read these scriptures to you. You think about what we said last week in comparing to these scriptures. Revelation chapter 19, and we're going to read verse 7 through 21. Now, we're in the last of the battle. We're in the end of the book of Revelation. And look at what it says in Revelation. We're looking at Revelation chapter 19, beginning in verse 7. He says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, remember what I told y'all last week, where the body's at? Jesus said, wherever the eagles be, the vultures, that's where the bodies will be. One will be taken, the other will be left. One will be in the bed, one will be taken, the other will be left. Two will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Just like in Sodom, just like in Noah's day. Where will they be taken, Lord? Wherever the eagle, the vultures are, there will the bodies be. Look at what it says. Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought the miracles before him, which he had deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. Those both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh.
This is not any kind of made-up book. God says this is how it's going to go down. We're going to keep going, and it's going to get ugly and more ugly, and people are going to, you know, like the person that walked into Christian school and shot up the school. You're going to see all kind of crazy stuff going on, and people are going to keep saying, if y'all weren't so hateful and if y'all weren't so whatever, y'all could be safe. Well, they ain't walking up and don't mosque shoot nobody because they already know. The Muslims don't respond to it like we do. Now, they'll strap on something and come get you. Christians have been commanded to love your enemies, pray for them that despitefully use you, and make sure that you are always like your Father in heaven. Be like Jesus was. Jesus said, if a man slap you, give him the other cheek. Most of us are like, I ain't doing that. Jesus said, people need to hear what I'm saying. You either do what I'm saying or you can do what you want. But I'm telling you, if you do what I'm saying, you will be like your Father and you'll meet him one day. Otherwise, you might find yourself in that whole worker of iniquity group. Oh, I'm a good Christian long as you don't touch me. Put your hand on me. Now, I'm not telling y'all that we're just going to let nobody come in here and do nothing to us. That's not what we're saying. We can defend ourselves, try to take care of ourselves. But what I'm telling you is we're going to see this evil continuing to come after us because they got to do that. They got to shut us down because we have the truth. I mean, if we didn't have no truth, why are people mad? Why are you mad? Why? Look, when I was growing up, they used to say, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words don't ever hurt me. Okay, well, then what's the problem? Because the devil knows the truth. And what he hopes he can do is by intimidating us with fear and death and loss that he'll make us draw back. Because this is real, y'all. Y'all think about what I'm saying. If you all really thought, this is why I always tell people, if they call y'all and say, Pastor White is locked up in his house, the police going to get him, like there's some kind of felony I committed that'll send me to Angola, y'all could tell him, nah, don't try to get him out. He ain't coming. I'm coming out dead. They ain't going to be dead or alive. I'm coming out dead because I ain't going to Angola. I tell people, look, I ain't going to no prison. I'm not going to go up no prison. Do y'all know what prison is like? I talked to somebody the other day. They say the inmates run Angola. So do you know what that means? When you get there, they're going to tell you who you are. They're going to tell you what you're going to do. They're going to tell you how it's going to go, and I don't want nothing to do with none of that. So I'm not going. That's how I feel about hell. Hell is real. God said you ain't going to have no friends there talking all that stuff about, well, at least I'll be there with my friend. No, you won't. Your friends, you will not see them, they won't see you, and it's going to be bad. It's going to be hot, and the Bible says it's going to go on and on forever. I don't want to be there. Jesus said, don't fear the people who could kill your body. Let me tell you who you better fear. Fear the one who could kill your body then cast you into hell where you're tormented eternally. That's who you need to be scared of if you're going to be scared of anybody. That's what Tyndale probably figured. You know, I'm on this, y'all got me tied up, but y'all can't kill me but once. And the devil's so mad he burned him up after he done strangled him. The man dead. You're just burning a dead body. You're so mad. The devil's so mad he kill you, and he still can't get you to say whatever. He burn your body. He's so mad. These are the people we are, the people of God. We stand strong. We stand firm. We come up against the devil. We ain't mad. We ain't scared of him. Truth is what will keep you when it's all over. Because I'm telling y'all, everybody I've seen, sooner or later, they go cross on the other side. Go see. See if you see anybody that made it. We all start off, we doing real good. We in our 60s even, we doing good. Then we hit 70, then we doing all right. Then all of a sudden we hit 80, we doing all right. But something seems to change. Then maybe we get to 90, but we start ain't sure doing what we was. And we hit 100, people start saying we great people. There ain't but 120 centurions in the world, they'll say. Something like that. Well, guess what? Where all the rest of them at? They dead. I was looking at a little piece of grass the other day, and the scripture came to me. Your life is just like that grass. It says it's here for a minute, and then it heats up in the sun, and it's gone. Wow. Lord, let my life count. That's what I say. Please let my life count. Don't let me do something, and now all of a sudden I'm lost. The Bible says it's going to go like that. It's going to get tougher and tougher and tougher to the point to where what? You can see the system now. They're talking about Fed coin and this coin and that coin, which will then basically you'll be able to do like the Chinese. The Chinese basically have a social credit system. You can't, if they want to cut you off, they cut your money off because your money is tied to a coin, to a bank account. So if they don't like what you're doing, you're on the media talking about the government, you're doing whatever, they shut off your money.
If they can't arrest you, they at least can cut off your card. So that way you can't use it. You can't eat. You can't nothing. So all of a sudden, that's what the Bible says is going to happen to the world. It says that this system is eventually going to start squeezing down. And what it will do is it will eventually squeeze on us the most. And if we're so tied to it, that's why God keeps saying, better let go, better get out. If you stay so tied to it in what you believe, what you like, what's so important to you, it's okay. Paul said, I've learned how to wear the world loose. In other words, I ain't telling you don't enjoy your life. Pastor, look, we can't even go on vacation. I was going to go try to watch basketball game day, Lord. He done made me feel bad. Go watch the game. It's all right. Go on vacation. It's all right. Just make sure you are wearing it loose. Because when it changes, you're supposed to be able to say, you know what? I'm good. I'm like Paul said. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know how to abase. I know how to abound. If God give me a steak, I'll eat that too. And if God give me nothing but a meal, I'll eat that too. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you say. Because I'm not governed by my emotions, my lust, my stomach, my desires. I'm governed by the word of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. And as you do that, the world keeps getting tighter and tighter and tighter. Then the devil gonna be working all his miracles, you know. He got to do that. Oh, you go to that church, they don't even, you ain't never, what y'all seen over there? All that man do is bouncing around talking about that Bible. Have you ever seen anything? We got angels show up in our church. Really? I mean, I'm serious, they got churches saying that. Boy, the angel was on the stage. I said, y'all crazy. An angel showed up in your church? Why? Why do you need an angel? Pastor was preaching, an angel was just standing there. Like somehow they endorsing him, right? He got angelic endorsement. Like, what's wrong with the word? All you need is the word. Them angels, if you ain't preaching the word, them angels ain't don't mean nothing. But as it keeps tightening, 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 then the Bible says there's going to come a moment, though, that it's over. Whatever's going on, however bad it done got, God's going to say to Jesus, this is it. And just like the day of Noah, just like Lot, the Bible says he's going to come roaring out of heaven. Jesus said, you are not going to know the day or the hour. He says, but everybody going to know. From the east to the west, he's going to come roaring out of heaven, and you're going to see all these horses. You're going to see these people on white. You're going to see this one in the front with the word of God and King of kings and Lord of lords coming. And as he's coming down, the whole world is going to want to go against him. They ain't going to win. The Bible says in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be caught up to go out to meet the Lord. And we're going to get our horse, and we're going to get our robe. And we're coming back down. And as we come back down, the Bible says God will be commanding all the vultures to show up because it's about to be on. When Jesus get through, ain't nothing going to be around but us and whatever's left standing. And the Bible says then all the vultures will be flying out there, eating up all the flesh. It says it's going to take 7 years for us to bury all these bodies. Bible says that God is going to assign us to places and he's going to give us thrones. Watch this. I'm going to read this. And I didn't tell him to put it. I'm going to go ahead and read this to you, though. Go to Revelation 20. I got 1 minute. Revelation 20. And let's look at verse 1 through 4. I just want to give y'all something. Let's look to 1 through 5. I'm sorry, 1 through 5. I just want y'all to see this so y'all can be excited about this. Look what it says. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and put a seal on him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. And here comes y'all's reward. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, nor his image, nor had received his mark upon their foreheads, nor in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. And the Bible says, blessed are those who come in the first resurrection. He says, because everybody else, it's going to be ugly. After that 1,000 years, Jesus is going to reign. The Bible says the devil's going to be loosed. He's going to go out to deceive the nations again. And then before you know it, people are going to once again be saying, they're going to be saying, man, that dude over there and them people, don't mess with them people. Talking about us. Don't mess with them people. Them people came flying out the sky. They're going to be like, man, you believe that? That's an old fable. I said, man, I'm telling you, that guy over there, that's the Son of God. Right. Who is God? Think about it. 1,000 years would have gone by. They've had children, all this stuff, and Satan is out now deceiving again. And then the Bible says the final battle will take place. And then when that happens, God's going to judge the world. All the dead will rise. And that's when the people get cast into the lake of fire. So if you're not in the first resurrection, you know, that's all the people that we keep saying, and I hope it ain't going to be none of y'all. You know, we having a funeral, and we talking about, well, we know they in a better place. And all that we saying, well, yeah, maybe. Because if they're not in that first resurrection, you can forget it. You won't see them again. Not in heaven. Not on earth, the heaven on earth. You won't see them because he says, blessed are those in the first resurrection. So those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up ever to be with the Lord. Look, y'all, I'm excited about that idea. People say, oh, you know, that's a fantasy. Well, everybody got their own fantasies they live in right now. Good, let me live mine. That one day I'm going to be raptured up to meet Jesus, and I'm going to be given a white stallion, and I'm coming back to rule whatever he going to let me have, like Caleb. Caleb said, give me my mountain. I don't know what city God going to let me have. I might just get one. I might get two. Bible says you could have a whole country, possibly. What are you expecting from God? People running around down here trying to get a hold of all this stuff that's falling apart and ain't no good. I want the real riches of God. I want to be on Jesus' side and be able to say, hear me, Lord, please say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Please, folks, don't neglect this great salvation that you have, because we will not escape if we do. Every head bowed, every eye closed.